This morning we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 12, entitled Mohini Murti Bewilders Lord Shiva, text number 35. Skane retasi so pasyad. Skane retasi so pasyad. Atmanam deva mayaya. Atmanam deva mayaya. Jadi kritam nipashrishta. Jadi kritam nipashrishta. Sanyavartata kashmalat. Sanyavartata kashmalat. Kanne. When fully discharged. Retasi. The semen. Saha, Lord Shiva, apasyat, saw, atmanam, his own self, deva mayaya, by the maya of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, jadi kritam, had become victimized as a fool. Nripa Shrishta, O best of kings, Maharaj Parikshit, Sanyavartata, restrained himself further. Kashmalat, from illusion. Translation. O Maharaj Parikshit, best of kings, when Lord Shiva had fully discharged semen, he could see how he himself had been victimized by the illusion created by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Thus he restrained himself from any further maya. Responsively, O Maharaj Parikshit, best of kings, when Lord Shiva had fully discharged semen, he could see how he himself had been victimized by the illusion created by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Thus he restrained himself from any further maya. Report by Srila Prabhupada. Once one is agitated by lusty desires upon seeing a woman, those desires increase more and more. But when semen is discharged in the act of sex, the lusty desires diminish. The same principle acted upon Lord Shiva. He was allured by the beautiful woman, Mohini Murti. But when his semen had been fully discharged, he came to his senses and realized how he had been victimized as soon as he saw the woman in the forest. If one is trained to protect his semen by observing celibacy, naturally, he is not attracted by the beauty of a woman. If one can remain a brahmachari, he saves himself so much trouble in material existence. Material existence means enjoying the pleasure of sexual intercourse. Yanmaitunadi grihamedi sukham. If one is educated about sex life and is trained to protect his semen, he is saved from the danger of material existence. Skanne retasi so pasyad atmanam deva mayaya jadi kritam nipashrishta sanyavartata kashmalat. O Maharaj Parikshit, best of kings, When Lord Shiva had fully discharged semen, he could see how he himself had been victimized by the illusion created by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Thus he restrained himself from any further maya. There are many reasons for the different pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna. When Lord Krishna appeared 5,000 years ago, ostensibly he appeared to bring all of the kings together in the Battle of Kurukshetra and to rid the world of their burden. They were a burden to the world because they were not promoting the principles of Dharma. They were not teaching people to surrender to Krishna. Rather, they were exploiting the people and enjoying sense gratification. But Lord Krishna had many other motives. He also appeared to bless the devotees, paritranaya sadhunam. He appeared to satisfy the gopis by dancing with them in Rasleela. So he has many different things that he accomplishes at one time. So in this case, one of the reasons for this particular pastime of Mohini Murti is to show us that the bondage of sex life, it is called Maithuna Agara, translated in the Bhagavatam as the shackles or chains of sex. This is the strongest kind of bondage in the material world. We find people don't like to talk about this so much. Especially, it comes up again and again in the Shastra, and people feel, okay, I've heard about that once, that's enough. Let's go on to discuss Gopi Leela or Bal Krishna Leela. There is a Sampradaya, Vaishnav Sampradaya, but not exactly very strong. They overemphasize that one should worship only Krishna in his Bal Leela, because when he grew up, there was some contamination. He got mixed up with the gopis. But the fact is that first and foremost, we are all in maya. Icha dvesha samutena dvandva mohena bharata. All living beings who come to the material world are guilty of forgetting Krishna. They're guilty of coming here loaded with desires, illicit desires. They're envious, icha dvesha. They're envious of Krishna. We are envious of Krishna. That is why we've come to this material world. And we are tied up. We are bound up. We are shackled by sex desire. We have to do something about this if we want to get free. Even sex desire is so strong. In fact, it is stated that sex desire is the perverted form of love for Krishna. The opposite of kama is prema. So it's a perverted desire. It's a principle, a strong principle. We are attached to God through love and devotion, but we become cut off from God's mercy because of the perverted form, lust. And this lust, even if superficially we're able to control the physical act of sex, it comes up again. You push it down, lust, you suppress it, but it comes up again in the form of desire for labha, puja, pratishta, profit, adoration, and distinction. So we have to hear about this again and again in different ways, and we have to know how we can root out this sex desire. One way, as is explained here in the purport, is to understand that it is a bad bargain. Yanmaitunadi grihamevi sukham hi tucham. There is pleasure, not happiness. Notice the distinction. Pleasure is one thing, but we mistake pleasure or indriya tripti for happiness. But real happiness has no end. Real happiness is anandam buddhivardhanam. It's an ever-increasing ocean of love and devotion. So, we get pleasure from sex, but it is described by all the acharyas as chapala sukh, flickering happiness, and bodh tuch. It is very small in comparison with the happiness that can be derived from loving Krishna, from surrendering to Krishna, from becoming Krishna's slave. We are Prakriti. Krishna is not only Adi Purusha, he is ultimately the only Purusha. He's the original enjoyer, and ultimately he's the Ekale Ishwar Krishna. Ekale Purusha Krishna. Arsabhritya. Everyone else is meant to be enjoyed by Krishna. And this is our constitutional position. It is not something artificial that we have to impose on ourselves as some kind of mechanical adjustment. It is our nature. And if you act against your nature, then you're bound to be frustrated. So how do we get bewildered? We talk about this again and again. More or less, people of the world, if they ever sit and discuss rationally, they understand how sex desire creates a kind of madness which has caused so many problems in the world. People, due to lusty desire, commit so many sinful activities, not caring for the result, not caring if there is any retribution, reaction to their activities. Lover and beloved can do anything. They can kill this one or kill that one. Or recently I was reading about the discovery of the city of Cleopatra in Greece. Cleopatra was a famous woman in Greece, and she attracted a famous Roman general or emperor, Mark Antony. And she actually conquered him by her charms. But because of that union, they exploited and subjugated the Egyptian people in such a heavy way for their own gratification. And ultimately they were defeated, and the whole city was destroyed, Alexandria. And there are unlimited examples in history of wars that were caused by lust. So we have enough example. But still, somehow or other, when we are faced with lust, we become trapped. Deha apatya kalatradishu atma sainyeshu asatsapi. People are very much into the bodily conception. Vishaya vinivartante niraharasya dehina. And for those who are in the bodily conception, the objects of the senses are powerful. The objects of the senses are like electromagnets, powerful magnets. They distract us. They attract us. We forget our duty. We forget our good intelligence. We lose it. We're attracted by the objects of the senses. So, deha apatya, children, what sex desire means. There must be some result. It is nature's arrangement. Sex is nature's arrangement for increasing the population. It is not meant. Sex life, sex intercourse is not meant as a substitute happiness for God consciousness. There's so much more happiness in loving Krishna. But we become bewildered and children are born, we become very attached to the source of that enjoyment, our wife, and there's so many other things that go along with that package. It's not that you just have sex life and walk away. No responsibilities. You become entangled. You get a little pleasure for a few minutes, and then you become entangled. Kalatradishu. And we think somehow or other, Griham Medis, who do not hear Atma Tattva Gyan, they become bewildered thinking that their family members can actually save them. But these are asat sanyeshu, atma sanyeshu asatsapi. They're fallible soldiers. They cannot save you at the time of death, neither your wife, nor your children, nor your relatives can help you even a little bit. In fact, they can bring you back to the material world. I have heard about many pious men who, realizing their impending death, would ask their family members to go away because they had some idea that they would like to try to meditate on God. So family members are asat sanyeshu, fallible soldiers. Who is the enemy? Sattvas, rajas, and tamaguna, the modes of material nature. Andha tamisra, the darkness of material existence. Repeated birth and death. Neha vikramanasho sti pratyavayona vidyate. Svalpam abhyasya dharmasya trayate mahato bayat. Mahato bayat, The greatest fear that we face is that we'll have to take birth again in this material world, and there's no guarantee what kind of birth we will get if we're attached to sense gratification, if we're attached to our family members, if we're attached to sex life. Then there's no guarantee we could be born in the worst condition and not get an opportunity for self-realization. So someone who is aspiring after transcendental life, the first business is to control the senses. Tasmat tvam indriyani adau niyamya bharatarshaba. The first business is to control the senses. Without controlling the senses, without withdrawing from or regulating sex life, there's no question of success. One will drown. Hidvatma patam grihamanda kupam. In a deep dark well of illusion. So therefore, this chapala sukh, we have to understand how we get entangled. The first thing is simply by dhyayato vishayan pungsa, by contemplation, by meditation, dhyana, on the objects of the senses. If we allow our eyes to rest on or meditate on the opposite sex, then sangasteshu pajayate, we'll become attached. Not just a few people, but everyone. The verse is there for everyone. It doesn't just say a few lusty people. It is natural. You will become attached. So we have to train ourselves not to allow the senses. We have to use our mind, control our mind, and not allow the senses to meditate on the objects. Because there's only frustration. The example here, Lord Shiva meditating. Of course, Lord Shiva could not be disturbed. Even his genital was being worshipped when he was in meditation. He was not at all disturbed. But here in this example, just to show the power of sex attraction, Mohini Murti made a complete fool out of him, the greatest of all the devatas, practically non-different than Vishnu, different category, Shiva Tattva. But the most exalted personality became a fool because of sex desire. That is the Leela. So who are we? We will be made a great fool in every case if we do not take the trouble to practice brahmacharya. Whether we are grihastha brahmachari or bal brahmachari or whatever. If we want to achieve success in spiritual life, if we want to have the strength of mind, if we want to have power to overcome all of the illusion that is affecting us, then we have to control sex desire. There's no other way, and we have to hear about it and follow the instructions. Mahajano yena gata sapantaha. We have to follow the instructions of all the great acharyas. We were hearing about Yamunacharya. He also saw how this sex can make a man a complete fool. How can he be a leader of Dharma? How can he lead society if he's simply a plaything in the hands of a lusty woman? How is that possible? He can't. So he has to control himself. Yamunacharya said, Yadavadi mamacheta krishna padaravinde navanavarasa damanudyata rantumasti tadavadi vatanari sangameshmaryamane. I spit when I think of sex. Because sex simply entangles you in birth, death, old age, and disease. That's all it can do for you. Chop a little souk and then a lot of misery. It's not worth it. The pleasure that is there is not worth all the suffering that you have to go through afterwards. A strong lust, your intelligence is overpowered, you act to exploit someone, to enjoy illicitly, and then immediately there is a letdown and frustration, but still you've acted and you have to pay for it, and you go on paying. You get a little happiness, it's finished very quickly, your semen is lost, your semen will create good intelligence, it will keep your body healthy all your life, but you lose it for a little pleasure, and you have to suffer repeatedly again and again. So this is the example here. Even Lord Shiva felt immediately afterwards the ecstasy of lust was finished. So I'll stop there. Are there any questions? Shiva is part of Krishna's Leela. So there's special Maya, Yoga Maya, whatever. It's impossible for Lord Shiva to be disturbed by lusty desires. But for the purpose of this Leela, just like Arjuna is a liberated soul, Arjuna cannot forget his position. But by Krishna's special arrangement, in order that we can learn, Arjuna was put into illusion. Any other comments or questions? Yes, Mukunda Maharaj. Why not try to experience as much pleasure, even if it's in small installments, but as much as you can, and the combined addition of all the small installments will give you some kind of satisfaction. He is asking whether that will give you. Why not do that? And a lot of people think like that. There are different reasons why that's not a practical proposal. One is that it's not as easy as one might think to create facility for enjoyment. Of course, it's a relative thing, but nevertheless, according to our karma, we might find in this lifetime that we only have a small allotment of pleasure. Whatever facility we are getting for pleasure, it is coming because of our purva karma. Whether we exploit those opportunities depends upon whether we are Krishna conscious or not. But whatever facilities we are getting, it is not due to our own arrangements as much as it is due to our past activities and the fruit we are now receiving. Secondly, everything that you do in this lifetime has a reaction. So you may get some satisfaction by supposing you're born in a wealthy family and you have very good health and all the opulences. Beauty, strength, wealth, fame, knowledge, little detachment. So you have all these opulences due to your karma, so why not enjoy them? Take advantage. But this life is so short. In comparison to what you have to lose your gain is insignificant. This lifetime in comparison to eternity is very short. And you will have to get some reaction. So, it is a risk. It is a very great risk. Now, it is possible to dovetail your good fortune. It is possible to eat tasty food, but make it Krishna prasadam. It is possible to enjoy sex life, but have many Krishna-conscious children. For example, the biggest tapasvi in modern times was Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who was a Naishtika Brahmachari. And there's so many examples of how he was very austere. But even he said that if he could create Krishna-conscious children, he would be prepared to have sex life 100 times or more. The point is create Krishna-conscious children through that activity. So, that is also possible. But, first of all, in order to do that, you must be in control, not out of control. So the principle is to restrain your senses from their uncontrolled condition and then use them when it is required for serving Krishna, to keep body and soul together. Again, this morning, while bathing, we were hearing a tape by Srila Prabhupada, and he expressed the same thing, that one can live in the material world and experience sense gratification, but only as much to keep body and soul together and to satisfy one's needs and desires on a minimum level. Anything more than that will lead to frustration and ruination. Yes? It is different for different people. It depends on what your particular duty is. If you have no need to associate with the opposite sex, then you shouldn't associate with them at all. But an extreme example would be someone like Ramananda Roy, who is both very advanced spiritually and very close to women. In fact, he massaged their bodies in the course of his service to Jagannath. Or even Pundarik Vidyanidhi, who was living in a very opulent situation and surrounded by women. So the principle is renunciation. The principle, our standard, is Raghunath Das Goswami. But we have to see how practically we can follow his example. But the direction towards which we should move, the direction in which we should move, is towards Raghunath Das Goswami. And it depends. One should not be... You have to become Krishna conscious. This may sound amazing, but you really have to use your intelligence. There's no automatic formula. At every step of the way, you have to use your discretion and your intelligence. You have to consult with other Vaishnavas. There's no one formula for every person, for every situation. We should not be envious of others. we should see to our own liberation and act accordingly. Make a plan for our own situation within the modes of material nature. If we become entangled, then we were obviously too frivolous, too careless, too casual. Any other questions? Can I talk with you? You do seva together in administrative work.
Cooking together.
Cooking together, doing pujari work together. Well, I know that Srila Prabhupada once mentioned how Maya attacks the male and female pujari. He's dressing Krishna and she's dressing Radharani or something like that, and each one is actually thinking of each other while they're... Ideally, brahmacharis should have nothing to do with brahmacharinis or any ladies, ideally. In fact, it is said that a brahmachari should not even see a woman. That's a classical standard. But in the modern age, it is not possible to avoid the association of the opposite sex. Practically impossible. So we have the ideal standard and we have the reality of today's situation. So we have to adjust, but for the most part, it would be better if we had strong grihastha devotees who took up the administration and engaged the ladies properly wherever it was appropriate and dealt with them or dealt with that situation. It would be better, and we'll probably see better results in terms of maintaining the renounced order if we remove them from temptation. Man is good and woman is good, but the combination can be bad. Butter and fire. So at least, Prabhupada said, grihasthas are already in the soup. Hot soup. But at least the brahmacharis and sannyasis, as far as possible, should be protected, because that can be an inspiration to the grihasthas to improve by seeing at least some staunch brahmacharis and sannyasis. They can become inspired. Everyone can become inspired by that example, ladies and men. So we have yet to create that ideal situation, although hopefully we're working towards it. Maharaj is pointing out how this is Kali Yuga, and not only that, we're at a particularly confused period in Kali Yuga, where the karma, especially of people in the Western countries, is more pronounced, more obvious. Souls who have a female mentality are sometimes born in male bodies, and souls that have a male mentality are born in female bodies, male bodies, or something close. It's hard to discriminate. For example, there are many women in the West who are far more concerned with creating a career for themselves and working in industry or whatever than they are in naturally, generally speaking, in a healthy society. Women are very satisfied with their roles as mothers. It is a natural, physical role that they are, by nature's arrangement, that they have to play. And they're happy by that. But in this age, There are many factors, not only the karma factor, but the training, the exploitation of men over women to make them think that they should be independent of household life and independent of male supervision. We have a situation which doesn't conform to the classical Vedic model very well. So for that purpose, we sometimes have to make appropriate adjustments. But it's not such a factor here in India. At least in India, the ladies for the last century or so many whatever years are still very chaste, and there is some parda or separation of the sexes, and there is some still form of varnashram. The principles are at least appreciated, if not followed very well. There's hope for India, whereas in the West it's a very big job at this stage to turn things around. But still, as devotees, we have to do the needful according to Kala, Desha, Patra, time, place, and circumstance. Yena tena prakarena mana krishna niveshayat. Somehow or other, get people to chant Hare Krishna, and then we can make adjustments as people advance spiritually. Did you want to add to that? Maharaj was quoting one authority in the West, or one person was asked. The idea, actually, men and women are equal spiritually, but they're definitely meant to play different roles in society. And to artificially make those roles the same is one has to lead and the other has to follow. If a man and a woman are dancing together, they can't both lead. They'll step on each other's toes. So someone has to take the leading role. And physically, a man's ego is such that he needs to be the leader, otherwise he becomes very depressed and disturbed. So the intelligence of a woman is, in order to keep him attached to family and to protect her children, is to inspire him to lead rather than to depress him or confuse him. But in the modern age, there is, in the West, a move to create a society where everybody is just one. It's all one. We're all equal. Even on different levels, whatever. So one person was asked about this, and just to show that the statement itself is kind of ludicrous, and he said that I will believe that men and women are equal when a woman can be seen playing major league football and when a man is having babies, then I'll believe that men and women are equal. Well, you'll be surprised to know that more and more today women are playing contact sports, although they really get injured quite a bit from it. And I believe there was some movie about a man having a baby. I saw something in Time magazine about Los Angeles or something, I don't know. Anyway, they're working. It's a fact that we have so much to do we have a short life. And we have so much to do. Does it really matter? Is it really all that important? Who is what? The important thing is to put Krishna in the center and get on with our business instead of fighting. This battle of the sexes is just another heavy form of Maya that wastes our time. Even as a male, You have to surrender to someone superior. You can't, you know, say, okay, we're all equal and there's no leaders at all. That's, Prabhupada was very emphatic about his desire to defeat communism in the world. And the communist idea is that there's no class, no classes in society, and everyone's equal. Doesn't work. Jivo jivasya jivanam hastani sahastanam apatani chatushpadam falguni tatra mahatam jivo jivasya jivanam. One living being is controlled by another. And even in our own society we see that there are some very, very powerful people, devotees, and they just naturally organize and control other devotees. Like Mukunda Maharaj, he's very powerful. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jaya.